series of messages, and I always like to come up with a passage that I can use as a foundation for the series. I haven't done that this time. The verse that I want to read, in fact, if you'll open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, I've just got one verse that I want to share with you this morning that'll be sort of a kickoff for today's message, which is really the introduction of the series, and we'll get more deeply into it in the coming weeks. But we're beginning a series that we're dealing with the issue of suffering. Everybody wants to know, why is there suffering in the world? If God is a good God, then why do people suffer? And all of these kinds of things, and we're going to do our best to go through the scriptures and try to find an answer to that, beginning this morning and over the next several weeks together. The series of the title of the series that we're going to be bringing to you, we're calling it "Why God, Why?" Because that's the question everybody asks when they're going through things. Why? Why me, Lord? Why me, Lord? As though everybody else maybe deserves it, but I don't. Anyway, we'll get to that later. One verse to start off today, Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. The Apostle Paul is writing here and he says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." Paul is comparing this life to the life that is to come. And he talks about how great the glory is of the world to come, of eternity with God, of heaven and its beauty and its glory. And he's saying in this one verse of scripture that there's no way to compare what little bit of suffering we go through now to the greatness of God's beauty and glory that awaits us all who believe in the Lord Jesus. And I just want to start by saying today, as sort of an introduction to this message, if you and I had that perspective of heaven, if we understood the beauty and the glory of the heaven that is ours, if we understood the reality of the heaven that awaits us, we would not fear anything in this world. Not a thing. Let's pray together. Father, as we take a look at today's circumstances and the scriptures that apply to them, we pray that you would open our hearts and open our eyes today, Father, to help us to see you. Help us to know you, Father, and help us to lean on you and run to you in days like today. We bless you for what you're doing here today, Father. I trust and believe you're going to speak to our hearts today, Father. You're going to bring calm. You're going to bring reassurance. You're going to bring hope. You're going to bring faith. All of the things that are contrary to what we've heard this past week. Lord, you're going to bring them to our heart today by your Holy Spirit. And I thank you for doing a mighty work in us to make us a different people today than when we came in just a little while ago. We bless you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, my, what a difference a week makes. The world that you and I live in today, the America that you and I are experiencing today, is vastly, vastly different than the America that you and I worshiped the Lord together in just 1 week ago. Just a week ago. If you had told me a week ago that the NCAA was going to cancel its prize jewel, men and women's college basketball, the most watched thing on television, the most money maybe apart from the Super Bowl, the thing that funds so many colleges and universities throughout the year. If you had told me the NCAA was going to cancel the whole thing, I'd have said, you're crazy. Nothing will keep those people from doing that. Absolutely nothing. If you had told me that all pro sports were just going to stop, NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, golf. Well, some things we can be thankful for, right? Golf. If you had told me that all pro sports was just going to cease, I'd say, you're nuts. These are the things that drive our economy and our lives. How can these things just stop? If you had told me a week ago that the stock market was going to just about crash. Well, actually, that would have been pretty helpful if you had told me that a week ago. Becky and I, we have a very small IRA. It was actually started for us 35 years ago by Oral Roberts, no less. Oral Roberts had a minister's association. Years ago, we were a part of it back in the early 80s. And he watched his father grow up as a poor man, and his father was an itinerant preacher. And Oral did not believe that preachers should have to live that way. And so for independent small pastors like us, Oral Roberts started a retirement fund, a matching fund. He said, if your church will give $100 a month, Oral Roberts University, Oral Roberts Ministries will match that $100 a month for a year and get you started. And it actually went 2 or 3 years that he continued to give money to our IRA. Honestly, we've put next to nothing in it for 30, 35 years. And so it's been invested, you know, and it's grown a little bit and those kind of things. I think probably today it's worth a cheeseburger and a Coke or something like that. But anyway, if you had told me that the stock market was going to fall the way it did, I thought, man, there's just no way. Our economy is too good. It's too strong. And today, as Nate said, colleges and universities are closing for the rest of the year. In fairness, a lot of them only have about 6 or 8 weeks to go anyway before folks are out for the year anyway. But colleges are closing for the year and going online. Our high schools and elementary schools in the state of Virginia, many other states, are closed for the next year. Disney World is closed. It's closed. All of these things are closed. Churches are canceling service. Guys, I understand that on one level. But you know, the more I think about it, the more it bothers me how quickly the government has shut down houses of worship. Yeah, they've used a justified reason for it. They've shut down houses of worship in the United States. That scares me. That scares me on a freedom level. It really does. But churches are canceling their services. International travel has been suspended. And toilet paper is worth its weight in gold. And it's a respiratory virus. I understand on some level, we need to be wise. Don't misunderstand. We need to deal with issues in the real world in a wise way. But panic and fear and all of these kinds of things, you know, it's just absurd, some of the things that are happening. We went to Walmart on Friday night to pick up things. We had the breakfast today, lunch. We got another lunch, dinner tomorrow evening for Becky's extended family, all this stuff. We got about, we're in Walmart, you know, and some of the aisles, I mean, it looks like a third world country on some of those aisles over there. We're walking down an aisle over there, and I get a tickle in my throat every night. I get sinus, right? I'm going to get a tickle in my throat. I started coughing, and people started clearing out of the aisle. I mean, people are just freaking out and overreacting, and there's fear and there's panic everywhere. And we need to be careful about that. We need to be sure we don't operate. We need to operate by the Spirit of God. You know, guys, I've shared with you a number of times, and really over and over throughout the years, and we've talked about hearing the voice of the Spirit of God. And I've shared with you, you know, a lot of times we kind of float through life and everything is going good and we don't feel a need for God and we don't have to listen for God and everything is good in our life and all these kind of things. And I've told you there will come a time in your life. You may not be experiencing it right now, but there will come a time in your life when you will need to hear the voice of the Spirit of God to know what step to take next in your life. That time has come today. It has come today. It is here. And we need to know how to hear from God. Do we go to work? Do we go to school? Do we go to church? Do we go to visit the neighbor that's sick next door and try to help? What do? We've got to hear from God because we can't operate in the flesh at all any longer in these kind of circumstances. We've got to know that what we're doing is what's been ordained by God so that we've got the protection of God when we do it. And we have to know how to hear the voice of the Spirit of God. We can't live by fear. We can't let circumstances freak us out so that we run off to the grocery store and buy 100 rolls of toilet paper. Forgive me. Someone said, well, yeah, you know, maybe you're talking about being quarantined for a couple of weeks. 100 rolls of toilet paper? If you need 100 rolls of toilet paper, you probably ought to be seeing the doctor about something else. It's just crazy. It's crazy. Now, let's be honest this morning. It is true that the natural flu, the seasonal flu, so far has killed 500 times more people than the coronavirus has. It's well over 20,000 people, 25,000 people so far this season. And what, 55, 60 people from the coronavirus so far. So 500 times more people have perished as a result of the seasonal flu. And yet it is also true that the death rate, the mortality rate of the coronavirus is about 20 times greater than the seasonal flu. So we can't just blow this off as though there's nothing to it. There's something going on, and a lot of people are suffering as a result of it. The coronavirus is very serious, and we need to take it seriously, as we should all illnesses. As I told you last week, coronavirus, wash your hands. If you don't have the coronavirus, wash your hands. Just wash your hands. It'll help out with just about anything. And frankly, all of these cancellations and closings and things that are going on, let's be honest, they are probably a good idea. They are probably a good idea, and let me tell you why. Because in our society, we cannot, listen, you cannot trust people to do the right thing. You just can't. You can't. A couple of weeks ago, they were interviewing an NBA player about all of this stuff, and he is mocking the coronavirus, and he's putting his hands all over the microphones and all over the stuff that's on the platform and all that kind of stuff. And a week later, that man tested positive for the coronavirus. He had to come back and apologize for his foolishness. Crazy stuff. There was a guy who was about to get on an airplane. He had a business trip he had to take. Just before he boarded the airplane, he was notified he had tested positive for the coronavirus. But look, he had some place to go. So he got on the airplane anyway. You can't trust people to do the right thing. And you know just as sure as the world, if the NCAA was having their basketball tournament, and tens of thousands of people all around the country going to the various venues and watching the games and all of these kinds of things. And then you get to the big show and all of the people that are at that game. You know, listen, as much money as it cost to buy the tickets to go to those basketball games, somebody is going to, it's going to happen some to somebody, they're going to test positive, and they're going to think, well, they say I'm positive, but I don't have any symptoms, and I've spent all this money, and I'm going anyway. That's just the way people are. You can't count on people to do the right thing. And that's a sad commentary on our culture, but that's the way it is. And so it's probably not all that unreasonable that so many things have been canceled or postponed to a later time. Regardless of all of that, again, one thing that you and I do not need to do is we do not and we must not give in to a spirit of fear and let it control our lives. Do you understand that the coronavirus is just the fear for 2020? It's just the fear for this year. There's a slogan we should put on some billboards somewhere. Just the fear for this year. You look back at the last 100 years and see the things that have caused people, some legitimate, some not, to get into fear, to get into panic. We're 100 years out now from the end of the what was called the war to end all wars, World War I. And what a traumatic thing. And so many thousands of young men dying from nations all over the world. And you send your kids off and you never know if you're going to see them again. And it's a terrible thing. And right after that, you have the Great Depression. And you have the Dust Bowl and you have the droughts and you have the famine. And people like Nate was talking about, people don't know where their next meal is going to come from. And they don't know if they're going to starve to death at night or not. And they worry and they fear about life. Right after that comes along World War II. As if World War I wasn't enough, now we've got a second World War to contend with. And with World War II, you have the introduction to nuclear power. Nuclear bombs. And is somebody going to drop the big one that's going to demolish us all? And now society is fearful again about something else. And then in the 80s, listen, we had the answer. People today are worried about, people today, we're fearful today about global warming. Some people are. That's the big thing today. Global warming. The earth is warming up and we're all going to burn up in a few years. It's another 12 years or whatever they're saying these days. We're all going to die, and so we've got to do something about global warming. Well, listen, back in the 70s and 80s, we had the answer for global warming. Today we're using fossil fuels and it say it's creating a hole in the ozone and it's causing problems with global warming. Well, back in the 70s and the 80s, we had the answer for that. Nuclear fuel. Nuclear is the key to the future. What happened? About 40 years ago, in fact, almost exactly 40 years ago, at a little place called Three Mile Island, I think it's in Pennsylvania, a reactor up there had a meltdown. What happened? People freaked out. People got in fear. Oh my God, the nuclear reactors, you can't trust them. They're all going to melt down. We're all going to die. That was the big fear back in the late 80s. They tracked the results of the people that lived around Three Mile Island for 18 years. Not a single soul died as a result of Three Mile Island. But you know what happened? The United States put nuclear fuel on the back burner for 30 years. 30 years. Fear. See, when you get into fear, you start making irrational decisions. You buy 100 rolls of toilet paper that you don't need. That's insane. But that's what fear does. Or you go out and you buy all of the Clorox wipes and all of the hand soap and all of the hand sanitizer you can get and you hoard it all to yourself out of fear. That's crazy. Listen. Don't you realize if you want to stop the spread of the coronavirus, other people need to wash their hands too. You can't buy all the soap. You got to let somebody have something for their hand. But fear leads you to make irrational decisions, you see. So we can't be led by a spirit of fear. We've got to learn to step back, take a deep breath, and remind ourselves, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Praise God. And not live by fear, but live by our faith in the living God. And if you've been coming to this church for the last 6 weeks, we have been preparing you for such a time as this. We've been sharing with you for the last 6 weeks how to overcome a spirit of fear and how to defeat it with faith in the Word of God. So let me give you some scriptures this morning that you can take and use as a confession of your own faith to encourage yourself, as a prayer to the Lord that, and as you seek the Lord and pray to Him for safety and deliverance, or as a spiritual weapon against the enemy as you strike back against that spirit of fear. I'm going to give you these things real quickly. I'll read the verses and I'm going to share the verse number with you and everything. Lord, you will protect me from all sickness. That's Deuteronomy 7, verse 15. And you will remove it from my midst. That's Exodus 23 and verse 25. You bore my infirmities. You carried away my diseases. And by your stripes, Jesus, I am healed. That's Matthew 8 and verse 17. You forgive all of my sins and you heal all of my diseases. That's Psalm 103 and verse 3. You don't want me to be in fear. Did you know, guys, that over 300 times the scripture says, fear not. Fear not. How many times have you heard it said? Repetition is to stress significance. When somebody repeats something over and over, it's because there's a point that needs to be made and we need to get. And I guess God has to say it 300 times in order for us to get it. He doesn't want us to fear. You've not given me a spirit of fear. That's 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. You're my refuge, my help, my strength. Therefore, I will not fear. That's Psalm 46, verses 1 and 2. When fear tries to come against me, I will choose to trust in you instead. That's Psalm 56 and verse 3. I will set my mind on you, trust in you, and you will keep me in perfect peace. That's Isaiah 26, verse 3. And family, if you and I would hide verses like that into our heart, I'm not talking about pulling them out of a promise box. I'm talking about hiding verses of scripture like that in your heart and really coming to believe those verses of scripture. When you and I need those promises from the Lord, God will bring them back to our remembrance by His Holy Spirit so that we can have verses to lean on and verses to use against our enemy. And if you and I will be doers of the Word, aligning ourselves with the Word of God, we'll be winners in life. What is the worst the coronavirus can do to you? What's the worst it can do to you? Put you into heaven. Put you into heaven. Poor you. You had to go to heaven. I feel so sorry for you. Listen. We've got to develop that mentality where life is concerned. That life is not just from the cradle to the grave. Life is forever. And it's with God in a greater place than you and I are living now. And if we have that mentality, listen, once again, if we truly believe in heaven, if we truly have that mentality, that the sufferings that we have now cannot compare to the glory that awaits us, Romans 8 verse 18, if we will have that mentality where heaven is concerned, we won't fear a thing on earth. I challenge you to go back and read the book of Acts this week and read about the life of the Apostle Paul. Paul, who wrote Romans for us. Paul, who wrote, well, so much of the New Testament, but particularly 1 and 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians, Paul tells us that he actually went to heaven and he saw eternal glory. And when he came back from his vision, when he came back from seeing heaven, when he came back from seeing eternity, he didn't care whether he lived or died in this world. In fact, he said as much in Philippians chapter 2, to live is Christ, but to die, that's gain. That's gain. It's better to go home to be with God than to live in this sin, sick, cursed world. And when you study the life of the Apostle Paul from that point on in the book of Acts, this man lived with a virtual death wish. In places that we would run from, he ran to. They took him outside of one city and stoned him to death. When he was raised from the dead, he went right back into that same city. You failed. Take another shot. I didn't get there yet. When you believe in the reality of heaven, you don't worry or fear anything in the earth. You have nothing to fear. Let's change gears a little bit then, and let's begin to move toward the general topic that we want to talk about this morning and for the next several weeks. And again, that's the idea of suffering. I want to look at the bigger picture of suffering. Suffering in general. If God is real, if God cares for us, if God is good, then why is there suffering in the world? Why do people suffer from cancer? Why are people suffer tragedies? Or why are people electrocuted and have an amputation? Why is there a coronavirus if God is good? Why does anybody ever have to die at all? If God is good, why do people suffer? And in order to answer that question, we have to go all the way back to the beginning of time and see where suffering came from and how it entered into this natural realm and into the world that you and I live in today. We've got to go all the way back to the beginning of time. Look all the way back with me then to the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible. And we'll start in chapter 2, some verses there. The very first words in your Bible are, in the beginning. Brother and sister, that's not talking about the beginning of God, because God has no beginning. He's eternal. When the Bible talks about in the beginning, it's talking about the beginning of time, the beginning of man, the beginning of human history. Not the beginning of God, but the beginning of time. And so that's where we are in Genesis chapter 1. You know the story there of creation, of the 6 days of creation, everything that was created. Man, God's crown jewel of creation, the only thing created in His likeness and image, created on that sixth day, and then God rests on the seventh day. That's the first chapter of the book of Genesis. Then in the second chapter of the book of Genesis, the Bible begins to zoom in, if you will, on that sixth day of creation when God created man. And He gives us specific details of how God created man in Genesis chapter 2. And you know the story, how He takes the dust of the earth, He forms it into the shape of a man, He breathes the breath of life into that man, and the man became, the scripture says, a living soul. Okay? So that's the story of the creation of man. Of course, we know that after He created man, my mother liked to say, He took one look at him and said, I can do better than that, and created woman. And so Adam and Eve are created in the Garden of Eden. And I'm going to jump all the way down to verse 15. This is actually before the creation of Eve. But in verse 15, I'm sorry, verse 15, Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, we read this in 15 through 17. The Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep it. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, "From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die." Well, let's unpackage that for just a few minutes here this morning and see what Scripture is teaching us in just these three verses. First of all, God creates the earth. He creates man. He takes the man, places him in what's called the Garden of Eden. Eden can mean pleasure, delight, paradise. All of these things describe the garden in which man was placed. He's there to cultivate and to keep or to guard the garden. We're not told here what he's to guard it against. We find out in the third chapter what he was supposed to be guarding it against and didn't. Therein lies the problem. But here he's placed into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. And notice in verse 17 that God gives man a free will. He gives man the ability to choose on his own. God tells him, out of everything that has been created, you can eat anything that you want from any tree that you want except for one tree. That tree is the knowledge of good and evil. He says in verse 17, in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die. Man is given choice, okay? You can eat from all these other trees. Don't eat from this tree. Man is given free will. Man is given a choice. Now, in order for the choice to have meaning, choices have to have consequences. You understand that? In order for choices to have meaning, choices must have consequences. In other words, if you have two things, you have A, you can choose A, or you can choose B, and both of them produce the same result, then there's really no meaning to the choice. You understand that? A and B, they do the same thing. No meaning to that choice. But if A produces life and B produces death, now your choice has meaning. There's significance to the choices that you make. And so God gives man free will. God gives man the ability to choose, and those choices are going to have meaning. Why does God do all of that? God does all of that because God wants to have a relationship with the man and the woman that he's creating, but he wants that relationship to be on the basis of the man's choice. Not because he has to, but because he wants to. What has more meaning? What has more meaning? If somebody does something for you, which one has more meaning? If somebody does something for you because they have to, you're forcing them to, or because somebody does something for you because they simply choose to from their own heart. When they choose to, that's the one that has more meaning to you. And God wants to have a meaningful relationship based on human choice, that we would choose Him above everything else. So God gives man free will. God gives man choice. God wants man to have a relationship with Him, but He wants that man to choose that relationship. He doesn't want that man to be forced into that relationship. And so man has a choice. Man has to choose whether he's going to walk with God or whether he's going to walk in his own way. Here's the thing. God says, if you don't choose to walk with me and do what you have been instructed to do, then the consequence of that choice is going to be separation from me forever. That's called death. So that sets up for us Genesis chapter 3, and I barely have time to touch it, and I want to talk about the whole thing. We'll have to get back into this next week. But look at Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, we see where the choice goes awry. Okay? And I don't have time to even get into all of this, into any of this today. Genesis chapter 3, just as an overview real quick, you see that the serpent comes into the garden, tempts the man and the woman of the Garden of Eden, deceives them into choosing rebellion against God. Lies about God, lies to them about what God said. Did God really say you're not really going to die? Nothing bad is really going to happen to you. God's actually holding out on you. God knows if you'll eat what he told you not to, you'll be like him. You'll be a God yourself. And he tells the man and the woman all of these lies, and they make the choice to serve themselves rather than to serve God. And what we're going to see next week is therein, here was the end of the message. When man made that choice, Satan became his ruler, sin became his nature, and suffering became his lot. And it's all from the choice that man made in Genesis chapter 3. We'll look at it in detail next Sunday morning. Father, thank you this morning for the encouragement that you've shared with us from the word of the Lord about the victory that is ours over the spirit of faith and even over sickness and disease in this world. We thank you, Father, that we can choose now. Because of Jesus, we can choose to walk by faith and not by sight. To live in peace and instead of fear. We can live in love with you. And know, Father, that you've got our back and you're watching out for us. And you're going to deliver us from all of the attacks of the evil one. So today, Father, as we prepare to leave this church and to go back into the world, I pray that you'd give us wisdom. Wisdom concerning what we listen to. Wisdom concerning what we hear. Help us to be smart, to turn off the things that bring a spirit of fear to our heart. And help us to tune in to the Word of God that brings faith and life to our heart, both here and forever. Father, help us to grow in our faith and to trust in you. And to not be worried about what's going on around us, but to be grateful and to be thankful for what's going on within us. We love you today, Father. We thank you for being our God and our Father, our Savior and our King. We thank you today, Lord, for meeting all of our needs by your presence in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand together. We'll make this offer to you today as we leave service. Because we don't want to force anybody to do anything. And if you would rather receive a fist bump than a hug as you go out the door today, we'd be happy to just tap you as you go by. Give you an elbow or a tap or whatever as you go by today. We do thank you for being with us today. If we can do anything for you in the week that's ahead, we'll be around. If you need toilet paper, we'll see if we can find some for you. It's a crazy world. It's a crazy world. Who would have believed it? Just 1 week. Wow. Amen. Well, let's sing together and we'll be dismissed today. And again, thank you so much for being here with us this morning. Father, again, I bless you for our church family and for these precious folks that have come to be with us today. And as they leave, we pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts, to give us wisdom, to know what we need to do and what we shouldn't be doing, to protect ourselves in the days that are ahead. Lord, we don't want to be led by the world. We don't want to be led by fear. We just want to be led by the Holy Spirit and what you want for our lives. So I commit this church family to you. Trust you will keep them well in the week that's ahead. And pray that you'll bring them all back to this church next Sunday so that we can worship you together once again. We pray all of this for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, there is joy. I will linger, I will stay. In your presence, day by day, till your likeness may be seen in me. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming out today. Have a good day in the Lord.